across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning. It's July 29th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app, watching us on social media or listening on demand by podcast. Thank you for taking us along to get your week started. I got a question for you. What do you know about Vel Phillips? I'll bet the answer is not a lot. I certainly was in that camp until about a dozen years ago, and plenty of other people were in that camp until this past Friday when a statue of her was unveiled in front of the state capitol. It appears to be America's first statue outside of a state capitol honoring a black woman, and we're going to take a few minutes to review the milestones of her life and why this is such a deserving honor coming up this morning. Also coming up, it's Monday, as normal. We will talk to our friend, Dr. Kristen Lierley. She's an OBGYN. She's also a candidate for Congress. She's also into the live music scene, and we'll find out what concert she went to last night. Big one at a big venue, and what she thought about that. One of her OBGYN colleagues, Dr. Callie Cox-Bauer, is active in promoting the restoration of women's health care rights. And we're going to talk to her in the second hour about her participation in a national bus tour called Ride to Decide. We'll talk about the momentum building for unseating elected officials who keep wanting politicians to interfere with doctors and their patients and women's health care rights overall. I like the line that I saw somewhere on social media over the weekend, saying it's past time that we talk about the elephant in the womb. And so we will get into that. You can add your comments throughout the course of the day by calling or texting us 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. You can also use the Civic Media app, or if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, you can post a question or a comment in the comment section, and we'll see it, and maybe we'll put it up on screen as well. You can also follow what happens at Up North News, which is a separate entity from Civic Media, over at upnorthnewswi.com. You can sign up for our newsletter there. After all these years of saying click newsletter in the top banner, that's no longer true. They just changed it to subscribe. So go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner, and you'll be part of the newsletter experience. Let's see. This morning, Christina Lurie's put in there the story behind all those kids and bikes and training camp at Lambeau Field and how that whole tradition of Packer players riding kids' bikes got started. So a little bit more about the training camp for the Packers. Other can't-miss events in August around Green Bay. And then there's a link to our recent article with Angela Lang from Block about the excitement of passing the torch to a new generation. And, of course, in that we're referencing Kamala Harris as the new presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party. A lot of excitement there, and the freakout continues on the Republican side of things. We'll talk about the word fits, so we're going to keep using it, the weird stuff that Republicans have been saying ever since Kamala Harris went to the top of the ticket. So a lot to cover, but before we do that, as Alicia points out here on a Facebook comment, we all want to know how Yacht Rock Friday went at the Brewers game. I can help you with that, Alicia, but first, let me tell you that we've got 6 a.m. temperatures around the state here, 70 here in Lake Wissota, 61 in Hayward, and everybody has humidity in the 90s to 100% humidity. It is humid out there. Park Falls is at 68, Wausau 66, Green Bay 72, La Crosse 73, Wisconsin Rapids 68, Oshkosh 70, Madison 73, Waukesha 68, where Greg Bach is standing by at the studios of WAUK, the Shaw. Mr. Bach, who I saw at the Yacht Rock night at the Brewers game. How are you? How was the rest of your weekend?
My weekend was good. It was fairly laid back. We went to Yacht Rock Friday at the Brewers Park baseball place. And then Saturday did not a whole lot. And then Sunday I went to the museum with my niece and my nephew. And that was it. No club this weekend. We were closed because there was so much going on in Milwaukee this past weekend.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Harley Fest, River West 24, German Fest. They had their own air show during EAA up north. Like, it's just, there was so much. We're like, you know, let's just not try to compete.
Yeah, we saw a couple of Blue Angels fly over American Family Field as we were heading into the stadium early on. It got really loud all of a sudden. We look up and it's like, what are those? I don't know my planes. I don't know if they're F-35s or what they are, but they were big and loud and very, very fast. And I looked at my friend Kevin. I'm like, are we at war? I'm like, oh, wait, there's EAA and there's other things going on here. It was a great time. It was great to see you and Luke Mathers. Chad Holmes came all the way down from Wausau and then drove all the way back.
Holy crime in Italy. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's how fun we are, you know, when you get a chance to go to a Brewers game with your colleagues.
Yeah,
you know,
we had Jane Mattner there. And we had Johnny Watermullen from WAUK as well. It was a good time.
Aaron was there.
Aaron Carreno was there with some friends as well. And it was a nice, breezy, cool night, which was very, very nice. And it was a wonderful, comfortable atmosphere with great work friends to watch the Brewers get spanked from almost the beginning of the game.
Did they ever. Oh, Freddie Peralta got rocked early. It was ugly. They lost ugly again on Saturday. Thankfully, they rescued one game from the series yesterday with Devin Williams finally being back from injuries.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a good time. But Alicia, to your question about Yacht Rock night, they played Yacht Rock tunes.
Yeah.
But for some reason, again, nobody's going to feel pity for us. We had seats on the club level, and the club level is very nice. You know, the padded seats and some extra food options. It's wonderful. But apparently, for some reason or another, because you're like a season ticket holder on that level, you don't get the hats. We didn't get the Yacht Rock hats.
No, it's a separate theme night.
We were a little unhappy about that, but we'll live. And then we spent the rest of the game like noticing if any Yacht Rock artists were missing. Like, wait, we haven't heard Steely Dan yet. And then there's a little bit of Steely Dan, and I was like, wait, we haven't heard Christopher Cross yet.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask about that because we left at like the top of the eighth, and did they end up playing Sailing?
They did not. Not that I heard. No.
What?
Nope. Alicia fixes the record here. The Blue Angels are FA-18 Super Hornets, so not F-35s. So thank you very much, Alicia. Correcting the record.
I thought it was going to be a wash with Yacht Rock. Like, it was
here.
And, like, there might be even a band playing, like, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And it just...
In a Yacht Rock style. They could have done a lot with it. Maybe they should have lit an oldster, you know, help plan this thing. Somebody who actually lived through the Yacht Rock years.
Yeah. It was fun.
They should do it next year. Let's just take the game up next year. Let's just step it up.
Yeah absolutely.
Had a great time. Yeah. So get this, because, I mean, everybody knows I have to get up, you know, we have to get up super early to do the shift here. And on the weekends, for me, sleeping in means like 5:30 at the latest 6:30, you know? We got home, there was construction, so we got back to my friend Kevin's place in Madison and got to bed about 12:15 or so.
Oof.
I slept, I'm not even kidding, it was by myself in their guest room. I slept until 9:05. 9:05! I haven't done that since I was a teenager. I look at my phone, I'm like, am I in a hospital? Was I in a coma? Now, Grant, I mean, look, that's still 9 hours, which, you know, if you're lucky on a weekend, I can get that. But usually, you know, 9 hours there is like, you know, 9 p.m. to what, 6 a.m.?
Yeah.
But to go till 9 a.m., I was floored. I'm like, okay, apparently I am still capable of doing that. I needed that. But we all know what a week it was last week. Remember Thursday, we were all kind of grouchy, and by Friday, we were just punch drunk.
Yeah, you know? Really. He's like, when is this all going to be done?
Yes. So I definitely got to do that. Got to spend yesterday just on the pontoon throughout the day, and that was great. And then last night, watched a little bit of Olympics, so I'm now an expert in many sports. Greg, I know you said you weren't going to watch any of the Olympics, so I guess I won't ask you about that, right?
Oh, that's not exactly what I wanted. Darn it! There it is. John Williams wrote this, by the way. I did not know he wrote
this. Of course he did. John Williams wrote everything. Yeah. John Williams wrote all of Yacht Rock. We just haven't given him credit yet. John Williams is everywhere. Watch the Olympics. What about you?
So I told you and I told Jane, I'm like, I'm probably not going to watch. I'm not a big Olympics fan because I don't usually watch. And then I went to my mom's house on Friday afterwards before the game after work, and I watched the entire opening ceremonies. And then I watched beach volleyball this weekend. I watched skateboarding. I watched some archery.
I'm not watching any of this.
I think because it's all in one place now, and this weekend was so kind of like, you know, laid back. I'm like, instead of trying to pick a TV show or a movie, or especially watching a TV show I've watched 1,000 times before, you know what? Let's just throw the Olympics on and just see what. And Bridget and I were both like, yeah, let's do it. And so we just sat there and watched, and you know. I love watching beach volleyball, and archery is just amazing to me. So, yeah, yes. Whatever was on, basically, we would just kind of – well, we did come to the conclusion, water polo is boring.
Oh, okay.
So boring.
And again, it's not like they're standing up in the pool. They have to keep themselves up all that time, which is crazy. When the clip came up from badminton last night, I was getting set to mock it.
Yeah.
But then I'm watching the clip, and there is nothing to mock there. There was this very long volley where the thingy that they're hitting, the little birdie, is moving like at 200 miles an hour. And you've seen this with ping pong. You've seen those wild back and forths. They're doing this with badminton.
Yep.
I'm like, this is crazy. I saw, you know, mountain biking. Interesting development where in gymnastics, they put a heart rate monitor on one of the parents. Not the athlete, the parents. So you're watching the heart rate go up. I'm like, I think that's kind of cruel. You know, we're just showing off health information now about the parents. So I think we'll have a lot to talk about there as we go through the coming couple of weeks here. Some highlights, and I'm sure some lowlights as well. But again, it's just nice to have something different for the summer. It was a good summer weekend, and now we've got some Summer Olympics and maybe things to take a break from the news now and then. But we will unpack some of the news. Coming up right after this, talking about some weird comments from Trump and the Val Phillips statue being unveiled on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Appearing with Jack tonight are Betty Davis, Giselle McKenzie, and Jonathan Winters. And now, here's Jack.
Instead of the usual bumper music, here's a little This Day in History. On this day in 1957, The Tonight Show starring Jack Parr premiered on NBC, and you heard some of the intro there from one of his shows. He had that from 1957 to 1962 when he passed the reins to Johnny Carson. So that was on this day. Hey, the August 13th primary is right around the corner, so be sure that you have a plan to vote. If you want to learn more about what's on your ballot and where to vote in the August 13th primary, especially on those two big constitutional amendments, go to myvote.wi.gov to learn more about that, myvote.wi.gov. I mentioned that Devin Williams is back after he was out with a stress fracture in his back for the first 4 months of the season. He pitched a scoreless inning in the Brewers' 6-2 victory over Miami. Jake Bowers hit a home run and a triple. Let's see, even without Williams, Milwaukee had done okay with their bullpen. It was ranked third in the majors in terms of ERA. And, of course, your first place Milwaukee Brewers continue to lead the National League Central Division, avoiding the three-game sweep by the Marlins, who, by the way, second-worst record in the NL. That's what made Friday and Saturday's losses so frustrating. But it avoided the sweep. So far, the Brewers have only been swept once all season, and that was at Philadelphia June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So now Atlanta comes to town for three games starting tonight. Colin Ray on the mound for the Brewers. 7:10 the first pitch, 6:35 would be the pregame. All right, I wanted to talk just for a bit about a new statue being unveiled in honor of Val Phillips. And again, I would say that if I hadn't run for Congress in 2012, maybe I still would not have heard of Val Phillips. But I got to have a phone call with her, and I was so taken by the phone call. And she passed away not too long after that. And I thought, this is somebody who is really, not nearly enough is said about her. And I'm so thankful now that there is this statue to her on the grounds of the Wisconsin State Capitol. In 1951, she became the first African-American woman to graduate from the UW-Madison Law School. In 1956, she was the first woman and the first black on the Milwaukee Common Council. During her time on the council, based on a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story here, she fought for an open housing ordinance to ban discrimination in rental and home sales, only to see it voted down year after year after year. The measure finally passed in 1986. Phillips became the first black woman to become a judge in Wisconsin. She became the first black woman elected statewide when she was voted in as Wisconsin Secretary of State, where she continued her record for civil rights and women's equality. And when running for Congress in 2012, I mean, you have to make a million phone calls, most of them for money, but some of them just to talk to, you know, VIPs, other leaders in the party, so that people get to know you and maybe talk about you. And I really did not know anything of her record. And as I'm talking to her, and she could not have been more gracious, she could not have been sweeter in encouraging me, but then telling me a bit more about her life. And I feel very fortunate that I at least got to have that one conversation with her. And so this is an honor that is so overdue and so worthy. And so I hope that, you know, next time folks are at the state capitol, they take a chance to go see her statue. There's several statues there around the capitol. And this one, as noted by Governor Evers in the unveiling on Friday, said it will serve as a powerful lesson for those who visit the capitol, especially for young children. He says now they're going to know what representation matters. This sculpture is going to make a difference in kids' lives. So again, congratulations and good work to everybody who helped make that happen. Over the weekend, I have to say the possible vice presidential contenders, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, they were on fire this weekend with their comments. I mean, these guys have all been around for a while, but there is some kind of new energy across the party and across the ticket. And it is definitely shaking up people, starting at the very top on the Republican side with people like Donald Trump, who had the strategic quirk of deciding to come to Minnesota the other day, a state that he has lost resoundingly. He's behind the polls in double digits. And yet in Minnesota, again, continuing this talk about, you know, lying about elections and threatening to cheat again, here's what he had to say about what would happen in Minnesota this November.
If they don't cheat, we win this state easily, okay? They cheat. They have no shame. They cheat. Do you understand that, you crooked people? They're the most crooked. They cheat. They cheated in the last election, and they're going to cheat in this election, but we're going to get them. They used COVID to cheat. And this time they'll try and find something, but we think we have them blocked. They have no shame whatsoever.
Or hear me out. Or you lost. You lost. A Republican hasn't, you know, won in Minnesota since 1972, I think. Nixon McGovern. This is a guy who then went a step further in talking to a different group over the weekend, a Christian group, and saying to them something that has been debated ever since. Like, is he promising to be an authoritarian, or is he saying things will be so wonderful you'll never have to vote, you know, again after this year? I see why a lot of people think it might have been the first example. Give a listen to what he had to say to this group.
Christians, get out and vote just this time. You won't have to do it anymore. Four more years, you know what? It'll be fixed. It'll be fine. You won't have to vote anymore, my beautiful Christians. I love you, Christians. I'm a Christian. I love you. Get out. You got to get out.
Did he just say, I'm not Christian? I can never make out sometimes what he says there, whether he's, I don't know. I would not want to be the guy doing closed captioning for him. Let's put it that way.
Big shrug emoji. Like, I don't know what he said.
I don't know. Did he just say I'm not Christian? I don't know.
Yeah.
But people saying, well, what does he mean? Like, you'll never have to vote again. Look, we all saw January 6th.
Yeah.
We just heard what he said about, you know, basically threatening to cheat or cause unrest in Minnesota if he doesn't win. So if a guy tells you it's all, he says to a Christian group, it quote, it's all going to be fixed. You should be a little concerned.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
And the guy you say who comes down from heaven above by God's hand and he's like, I'm not Christian. Okay. All right. I guess.
Yeah. Right. But look, that's only one example of, you know, some kind of crazy right wing outrage. I mean, the other was about the opening ceremonies, where, again, from Speaker Mike Johnson on down, you had all this faux outrage about, oh, the mockery of the Last Supper. No, it was not the Last Supper that they were depicting in there. And, you know, the headless horse person, was it or the horse on the Seine, was that a sign of the, you know, apocalypse? Like, no, it's a different story. We're going to get more into that a little bit later on this morning as well. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is going to join us in just a bit. The Midwest Farm Report, too. This is Up North News Radio.
With Jack tonight are Betty Davis, Giselle.
Martina McBride is 58 years old today, one of the queens of early 90s country music. And that's one of my favorite tunes there, Wild Angels. Kristen Lyerly joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in downtown Minneapolis, where she was taking part as a spectator in some big music festival from some band I've barely heard of, but apparently everybody goes to it. And, well, where the heck were you, Kristen? Good morning.
You've barely heard of the Foo Fighters? Have you been living under a rock, Pat?
Oh, I thought it was Fish.
No. Oh, that would have been awesome, too.
No, it was the Foo Fighters. And listen to this. L7 opened for them, and Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders were the second act.
What? Wow. Chrissy Hynde?
She was fantastic.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we rocked out until about 1 a.m. We're kind of tired this morning, but I'm here with you.
Yes, you are. Wow.
Oh, man. This is when he's...
So Foo Fighters, that's Dave Grohl, right?
It sure is.
No, don't ask like you do. That's Dave. You know.
No, seriously. I get Foo Fighters and Goo Goo Dolls mixed up. I get my oohs, my foos and my goos. I get mixed up occasionally. So that's the thing. And this was at Target Field or Target Center?
This was at Target Field, and there was another little kind of special home cooking thing because we all miss Taylor Hawkins, the drummer who passed away recently, who was just brilliant and so fun to watch. But Josh Fries is the drummer for them now, and his dad is Stan Fries, who is probably the most famous tuba player and also a University of Minnesota alum. So, like, there's all of this, like, and he grew up in Edina, and so there was, like, this special home cooking kind of feel about it.
Okay. Famous tuba player.
Okay. A thing. Have you heard of Tuba Christmas?
No.
I've heard of Tuba Christmas. Paste.
That's it.
Yeah. Tuba Christmas is where all the tuba players come together and they play Christmas songs, and it's like just tubas.
All right, well, that's fun.
It is fun.
So you're over there in Minnesota, and now as you've been working over there and you know getting a little more involved in certain activities, I believe you've met Governor Tim Walz once or twice.
Yes. In fact, Governor Walz invited me when he signed a shield law that protected patients and providers when they came to Minnesota for healthcare. So he invited me to come to the signing and I got to speak. And we've met quite a few times. He is a good human being and a really, really strong public servant.
You know how when they say about an overnight sensation, you know, they use that phrase. And usually they use it with like a musician, like, oh, he or she or that band is an overnight sensation, meaning they did not see all the years that went into this.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've known about Tim Walz for a long time because he was, for 10 years, he was a congressman from Southern Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Southern Minnesota, that is a hugely Republican district. Mm-hmm. And yet he won 5 elections there as a Democrat because he's just... what everybody's seeing now. There's nothing fake about him. He's got military background, if I'm not mistaken. He's been a teacher. He just speaks in plain English and has no problem saying what he believes in, even when like national reporters are now saying, might you be too liberal? Is that the clip, Greg, that you've got there? I want to play at least one clip from Governor Walz.
Oh, I have the one where he's referring to the GOP as a certain.
Oh, yes. And then he's the one that used the word now that's become like the latest buzzword. Because, again, it's so plain English. Play Tim Walz. Let's see what he's got to say.
These are weird people on the other side. They want to take books away. They want to be in your exam room. That's what it comes down to. And don't, you know, get sugarcoating this. These are weird ideas. Listen to them speak. Listen how they talk about things. Listen to how your previous guests were right. Like you said, they've told them that they shouldn't talk about race. They can't help it. It is built into their DNA because there is no plan. There's no healthcare plan. There's no healthcare plan. There's nothing to do on this. They want to take away our alliances and leave Russia to do whatever they want. Look, they are bad on foreign policy. They are bad on the environment. They certainly have no healthcare plan. And they keep talking about the middle class that, as I said, a robber baron real estate guy and a venture capitalist trying to tell us they understand who we are. They don't know who we are.
Yeah, and then over the weekend, Jake Tapper is like, are you too progressive? And he's like, why? Because I want to feed kids lunches, you know, because of his school lunch stance. He does not shy away from any of this. And Kristen, you've been familiar with the governor for a while.
Yeah, you're right. He embraces all of it. And, you know, just remember, like from a women's health perspective, after the Dobbs decision, every single state got a little bit worse. Minnesota got better. And a lot of it was because of Tim Walz and what he was able to do with the trifecta over here, a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, and his leadership. They were able to spend their budget surplus to help families, to help children, to ensure that kids got lunch at school. The work that he's done has been absolutely brilliant.
And going back prior to that, I mean, since the Great Recession of 2009, Minnesota and Wisconsin prior to that had basically, you know, similar economies. And then once Minnesota voters embraced Democrats for governor and legislature, and here in Wisconsin, people elected Scott Walker and a Republican legislature, the economies went in two entirely different directions. And it's only been under, you know, Governor Evers' stewardship that the Wisconsin economy has finally come back. But we still have some catching up to do because you've got a bunch over there in Minnesota that they do not shy away from their progressive values, nor should anybody ever. And that's why you see him being considered. Again, if you made me put money down, I'd say it was probably going to be Mark Kelly from Arizona. But Tim Walz would be just an equally good addition to a Kamala Harris ticket.
Hey, I feel the same way, and I do think it's going to be Mark Kelly as well. But, you know, another thing we saw, Pat, was a brain drain. We saw a lot of academics and professionals leave Wisconsin and go to Minnesota because they felt that this was a better place for them to live and work and raise their families because of these progressive initiatives that the Walz administration and others within the state had implemented. And we're still seeing that. Wisconsin is fighting back. We're going to get there. I really believe we're going to get there, but it has taken us a while.
Meanwhile, on the Republican side, like I said, there's just been a freak out. And I want to play back-to-back clips here from Donald Trump, both about Kamala Harris. One, the inability to get her name right, and then the way that he insults her intelligence. But let's start with the name and then the intelligence, and we'll talk about both clips on the other side.
But if radical, liberal Kamala Harris gets in, and by the way, there are numerous ways of saying her name. They were explaining to me, you can say Kamala, you can say Kamala. I said, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter what I say. I couldn't care less if I mispronounce it or not. I couldn't care less. Some people think I mispronounce it on purpose, but actually I've heard it said about seven different ways. There are a lot of ways.
Sure. And then there's this about her intelligence.
This room is amazing. The people in this room, high IQ individuals. I'm running against a low IQ individual, her. I'm not even talking about him, her. I got a low IQ individual.
Again, doesn't even try to say her name. And then if he does, you know, he makes excuses saying, oh, there's different ways to say it. No, there's not. There's only one way. And if you are saying that somebody is low IQ, who is accomplished in her law school class, served as a prosecutor, attorney general, U.S. senator, vice president. I think when you say low IQ, you might be referring to something else that you don't want to say and that you don't respect her enough to get her name right. This is not the tactic. I mean, I know it's been Trump's tactic all the time. I don't think it's working this time.
I do think it's working with his population, though.
With there his was, base, yes.
Yeah, there was just a
They
piece.
Love it. They eat it up.
Yeah. Oh, they love it. There was a piece some national news outlet did in Northeast Wisconsin, and the headline was, "She's so stupid." And it was one of his supporters just parroting what he had said. But I think the really shocking thing is, if you just like stop and take a listen to what he's saying, this is a person who is running to, again, be the leader of the free world. And he is using words, misogynistic, racist, just ugly words that you don't hear other leaders saying. You would never hear Ronald Reagan saying things like this. He would slip in a quick one every once in a while, but like not like this.
No, not at all like this. Mm-hmm. And it's why, again, for that base, which I believe is shrinking, but I could be wrong. You know, it's going to work. It's, you know, that's red meat to them. Mm-hmm. But I think a whole lot of people who kind of forgot to vote, didn't bother to vote in 2016, I don't think this is going to work with them, especially as you insult not just the candidate, but their supporters. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it was actually John Bolton, George W. Bush's former U.S. ambassador, who is there's nothing liberal about him, but he is not a Trump fan. And he pointed out that in J.D. Vance and Trump now insulting Kamala Harris's voters, especially J.D. Vance, as childless cat ladies.
Mm-hmm.
That is, as John Bolton put it, they failed to learn the lesson that when Hillary Clinton, instead of insulting Trump, called Trump's supporters deplorables, it kind of backfired. And I am guessing that among your patient base are patients who have not had children or cannot have children, maybe own some cats, and are probably not real thrilled with being told that their vote should matter less, or their voice should matter less, or that they should be disregarded. Pretty sure, based on the responses this week, a lot of women not feeling the love for J.D. Vance, much less Donald Trump.
You're talking about my little sister, and she's pissed. She wrote a post that we're going to put out on my social media, Kristen for Wisconsin, Facebook and Instagram and all of that, talking about being a childless cat person and what this actually means. And it is just brilliant. But it's not just the people who don't have kids and have cats. Everybody's mad about it because it's stupid and it's insulting. And it also digs into so many of the personal reasons why people don't have kids, whether it's a choice or it wasn't a choice and this is where they ended up. And it's not just women. Remember, half of all infertility is male infertility. So it's pissing men off too. So whatever J.D. Vance is saying, and then remember, he defended cats but doubled down on the rest of it, yeah. It's not working.
No, it is really not. And I don't see how either one of them does this pivot. And I have loved the backlash to the reporters who during the Republican convention were saying, oh, there's going to be a pivot, a kinder, gentler Trump. And I love that these reporters are just being roasted. Like, what made you even think to believe that, much less write it? You know, they are what they are. And as somebody put on social media, I mean, imagine what those two would say about Kamala Harris if she had 5 kids by 3 different husbands and had an affair with a porn star. Oh, wait, that was Trump. Sorry, uh-huh. Never mind. Yeah, so there's no pulling out of this particular tailspin, I think, at this point. You will be back in the 8th Congressional District. You've got a race for Congress there. The 3 Republicans had another candidate forum over the weekend or late last week, and I'm sure you've got more than a little events. The thing is, when you get done, you know, working and heading back home, you don't get to just like, okay, well, I'm gonna make some home cooking and watch the Olympics. I'm looking at you right now thinking this might be the most relaxed you're going to be all week.
98 days till the election, and it is a full sprint. But Pat, mm-hmm. I'm here for it.
Nobody doubts that. Nobody doubts that even in your sleep deprivation, that you can do this. And nobody handles sleep deprivation better than an OBGYN kids. Right. Trust me. When we come back, we're going to have today's history lesson, a few musical memories for you as well. And then, Kristen, in our second hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Callie Cox Bauer about the Ride to Decide National Bus Tour.
Kelly is just wonderful. It is really exciting to see my colleagues finding their voices and speaking up on behalf of themselves and our patients.
Yes, that has been one of the biggest changes is, like you said, doctor saying, I can't lay low like this mm-hmm. anymore. Something needs to be said. The threats are that real. So that'll be in our second hour. But today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north. Up North News Radio Karaoke now with Kristen Lyerly and Greg Bach playing the roles of John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. All because of the Grease soundtrack, which hit number one on this day in 1978. Thanks to hits like this from John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John.
Might play a little summer. I'll do the Olivia part.
I know you will. You always. There's.
Come on, Pat.
At no point would I ever see you going, oh, no, I couldn't possibly.
I won't do it well, but I mean, I'll do
but
it.
But you'll always be willing to do it. Yes, I know. Pretty much sums up my radio career here. On this day in 1981, a worldwide audience of 750 million people watched on TV the wedding of Prince Charles and Lady Diana Spencer at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Do you remember that?
I do.
No.
Do you remember that was, it was so huge, and it was because everybody thought it was the fairy tale wedding. It was built up so big. Those kids didn't stand a chance with that kind of a buildup, you know,
yeah,
for plenty of other reasons. But that's why I also think people who are under the age of 50 would have a tough time believing this. But for a big chunk of, say, the late 60s, early to mid 70s, there was so much coverage of Prince Charles as, quote, the most eligible bachelor in the world. I mean, we just kind of look at him now and it's like, really, this guy, you know, but he was all that for a time. And so it was like, oh, wait, he's getting hitched. This must be huge.
I don't recall.
And
that.
It was. The wedding was huge, but sadly, no. No, Robin Tigerton, Pat and Kristen are not going to sing Summer Loving Karaoke.
Had me a blast. Come on, Pat.
We're losing you, Doc. We're losing you.
Sorry. Oh, boy. The internet is just off.
Rob is always here for us.
I know.
We need to show up for him.
Okay, stick around. Stick around, Rob. Mama Cass. Cass Elliott of the Mamas and Papas died at age 32 on this day. In 1974, she was on tour as a solo artist in London singing songs like this. It was just a death that was...
She did not choke on a ham sandwich.
She did not choke on a ham sandwich or a chicken bone or whatever. Her manager, believing that her death was drug-related and wanting to protect her legacy, made up the story about choking on food, and it was a narrative that persisted for decades. But no, you're right. It's not a thing. Mm-hmm. The number one song this day in 1967 was by The Doors. Light My Fire would be the number one song for 3 weeks in 1967. On this day in 1836 was the inauguration of the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, centerpiece of the Paris Games, which you probably haven't seen 2 minutes of, given how busy you've been between work and play.
I haven't, but excellent French accent.
Oui.
Arc de Triomphe.
Let's do some birthdays. Let's see. There was Wayne Morse, is 51, from Boys to Men. Grew up in, of course, Philly.
Slow skate, everybody. Slow skate.
That's right. Yep. Wanya Morse. I may have mispronounced that. I apologize. 51 years old today. Russia's Geddy Lee is 71.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So is Patti Sciolfa from the E Street Band, Bruce Springsteen's spouse, 71 years old today. We mentioned Martina McBride is 58 today. And Will Wheaton from Star Trek and Big Bang Theory is 52. And I do that just so I can, for all the Big Bang Theory fans out there, go, Wheaton! And if you don't know, you're not laughing, and I get it. On this day in 1972... Talk about your sappy 70 songs. This was the number one song by Gilbert O'Sullivan. Yes, one of many songs about death and dying and aloneness that were big in the 70s. Brought to you by Ennui.
This isn't even like yacht rock worthy.
No. This was pre-yacht rock.
Yeah,
it was. There was Shannon, the song about a dog dying. There was Billy, Don't Be a Hero. There just seemed to be a thing, a fixation.
There was the one about the summer.
Summer loving. No. Had me a blast.
No. That was not a death song. No. President Eisenhower signed into law on this day in 1958, the law creating NASA. On this day in 1984... Can't believe it took till 1984, but Prince became the first person to have a number one song and star in a number one movie at the same time. The number one movie, of course, was Purple Rain, and the number one song this day in 1984 was this one. This is what it sounds like when doves cry. 4 weeks at number one for his purpleness. On this day in 2015, the Eagles played their last concert with Glenn Frey. It took place in Louisiana, the final date of the History of the Eagles tour, featuring 27 songs, two encores, and, of course, closing with Don Henley doing Desperado. Glenn Frey would die 6 months later. The band continues on with his son Deacon in his stead as we listen to a little bit of Don. Desperado, why don't you come to your center? Haven't been to an Eagles concert would go just for that song alone, along with everything else. On the National Day calendar, today is National Lipstick Day. Today is International Tiger Day.
Ooh.
Today is International Chicken Wing Day. So Yeah, good day for the Buffalo Wings, I guess. And Craig.
What?
Craig.
What?
We've made it.
What?
We've made it. I know it's not the end of the month. I know it's not the end of Lasagna Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
But today, for whatever reason, is National Lasagna Day. Our long national nightmare is over.
It's not, though, because there's still more month.
Oh, thanks a lot.
I know, but wow, great. Now we got to do this bit for two more days. Wonderful.
All right, Pat, here we go.
Happy Lasagna Day, everybody. We'll be aware of lasagna for two more days. The lasagna that was eaten on National Lasagna Day that we'll be aware of for two more days.
And it'll be even better when you heat it up over the next couple of days.
That's true. It actually is really good reheated. Much